Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great preacher, said, "We ought to regard the Christian church not as a luxurious hostelry where Christian gentlemen may each one dwell at ease in his own inn, but as barracks in which soldiers are drilled and trained for war. We should regard the Christian church not as an association for mutual admiration or comfort, but as an army with banners marching to the fray to achieve victories for Christ, to storm the strongholds of the foe, and to add province after province to the Redeemer's kingdom." And then he said this, "Winning souls is not sheep stealing to make converts to our churches, but the increase of the kingdom is more to be desired than the growth of a clan. Our desire is that sheep are gathered to the great shepherd rather than hurriedly inscribing more names in our church roll." And as we have been thinking about soul winning and going out to reach other precious souls for Christ, to be effective witness, I believe there are two things that we need to remember. And first of all, I want us to think, what kind of person must I be if I am going to be used of God in reaching others for Christ? And then secondly, I want us to consider something else. What kind of a person can God make me to be used of God for His honor and for His glory? What kind of a person must I be for God to use me in personal evangelism, in reaching other precious souls for Jesus Christ? We read here in this 13th chapter of the book of Romans, it says in verse number 12, "The day is far spent," or "the night is far spent, and the day is at hand." And I believe that God is giving you and I wonderful opportunities while the day is still here to reach precious souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. But friends, if we are going to be used by God, if we are going to be used for the honor and the glory of God, what kind of a person must we be? Because I believe before God can use us, there are things that are essential before you and I can go out to be the real, genuine witness for Christ. God has given us a picture of what God wants us to be. They're simple things, and yet, my friend, they are serious things. First of all, we have to be people of purity. Turn your Bible to the book of Isaiah chapter 57. And in Isaiah chapter 57, we have a statement there in verse number 11. Isaiah 57, verse 11. And the Bible tells us there that we are to be people, 52, chapter 52, verse 11. And it says this, "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing." Sorry, that's chapter 51, verse 11. But that's good for God's people. "Shall come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away." Turn to chapter 52, verse 11. It says this, depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out in the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord." And friend, if you and I are going to come rejoicing and we're going to return unto Zion with everlasting joy upon her head, then we have got to go out in God's name and we have to be clean who bear the vessels of the Lord. I've often said it and I say it again, God can use any vessel but a dirty one. It's not necessary for us to be a brilliant person or a talented person. It's not necessary that we have got a pleasing personality, although that can help. It's not necessary that we have a flowing tongue or an orator's tongue. But it is necessary for us to be clean who bear the vessels of the Lord. Friend, if you and I want to be witnesses for Christ, you and I must depart from evil. You and I must be clean. We read this morning in the Psalm 24, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up a soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. God demands this morning from you and me that you and I be pure and clean vessels, that you and I depart from evil things. You see, all the other deficiencies that we have in our character, God can make up for those deficiencies, a lack of talent or personality or the lack of an orator's tongue. God can make up for those deficiencies. But my friend, God will not make up for the deficiency of uncleanness. We must have a pure heart. Of course, whenever we think about purity, that's a twofold purity. First of all, there is imputed righteousness. And thank God we stand before God, not in the righteousness of man, because of ourselves we have none. But we stand complete, robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which has been imputed, or the word means reckoned unto us. And whenever we trusted Christ as our Savior, thank God the righteousness of Christ was reckoned to us. And we stand complete, thank God, just as if we never had sinned. Thank God that's our position in Jesus Christ, the imputed righteousness of Christ. But friend, because of that imputed righteousness of Christ, there is a demand for practical personal righteousness. For 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us, be ye holy, even as I am holy. I think I told you the story some time ago about a preacher in Chicago. He was going to church one Sunday morning. Went into the congregation, was about to go into the pulpit, and he was approached with an urgent message. And the message was begging him to come to a hospital ward where a young girl was dying. And so he told the elders to continue the service, but he had to go to the hospital ward. And he went into the hospital ward, and the nurse met him. And the nurse came with him to the side of the bed of a dying young girl. And the nurse told the young girl lying in the bed that the preacher was there. The young girl lifted up her eyes, and softly she spoke, she said these words. She said, sir, are you God's man? Are you God's man? You see, friend, she needed God's man. She was on the verge of eternity. She wasn't saved. She didn't know God's salvation. She wasn't right with God. She wasn't ready to meet her Maker. And she wanted God's man to tell her the way. Friend, let me tell you, it says, be ye clean. You bear the vessels of the Lord. Oh, we want to come rejoicing on that great day. But I'll tell you this, we want to come rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. But if you want to be a soul winner, if you want to be used of God, if you really want to be taken up and used of God, my friend, listen, first of all, you must have a life of cleanness. You must have a life of purity. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. And does it really matter to you that you're walking right before God? Does it matter to you that your heart is clean and that your hands are clean and that you're seeking to honor God in the way that you live? There are people who are dying around you this morning and they need God's man and they need God's woman. You can be that person. You can reach them, friend. There's no reason why that you can't reach them. But if you haven't clean hands and a pure heart, what a tragedy. The Bible says there's a man sent from God whose name was John. You know, you could be sent to somebody today to take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, friend. But what an awful tragedy. What an awful tragedy by the life that you're living. You're not walking carefully. You're not walking circumspectly, friend. You're not before God. You haven't practical, personal holiness. Somebody stumbles over your broken testimony. They stumble into hell itself. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Surely that's a challenge to the preacher. Surely that's a challenge to every here that's gathered in God's house this morning. Listen, if you want to be a witness for God, friend, you say, preacher, God has spoken to me these last Sundays. As you've been talking about soul winning, I want to reach people for Christ. I want to win somebody for the Master. I want to bring some of my loved ones to Christ. Friend, let me tell you, before you can reach them, they must see Christ in you. Tell me when they read your life. When they read your life, will they see Jesus in you? Do they see the love of God in the things that you do? Are you living the life? Are you faithful and true? Will the world see Jesus? See Jesus in you? Some people want to be soul winners, friend, but they want the easy road to it. They want the quick road to it. Let me tell you, if you want to be used of God, friend, if you want to be that person that's used of God, first of all, you need to be a person of purity. You need to be a person of holiness. That's practical things. Living a holy life. Living a life that honors the Lord. Living a life that's in accordance to God's precious and God's holy word. It's not easy. It's not an easy road, friend. But I tell you, it's a blessed road. You see, God will use anything but dirty vessels. Be ye clean. Depart ye. Depart ye. Oh, may we leave aside our carelessness. May we leave aside the works of the flesh. May we leave aside the old things that perhaps we've got caught up in. And perhaps we think, well, you know, it's not really bad. Is somebody stumbling over your life or mine? Somebody falling, friend, because you've and I've shown them the wrong way to go. Are you careful? Are you careful in the life that you live? Listen, people's eyes are upon you. But I'll tell you this, the Lord's eyes are upon you. You know, so we live in an age and people have compromised and people have said, you know, there's places you can go and sure, it doesn't really matter. I want to tell you, friend, the place that you go or I go, could the Lord come with us? Would the Lord be happy there? So that's the place where the Lord's people should be, to honor Him. A person of purity. But then there's a second thing about it. Listen, we need to be people of prayer. We need to be people of prayer. Very simple thing, friend, but very powerful. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary, called prayer transacting business with God, doing business with God. You do business with God, friend? Have you really sought the face of God? Do you know that God answers prayer? Can you say to me, preacher, I know because I have proved in my life where God has heard my cry and God has answered my prayer. Jonathan Edwards, the great preacher, he talked about prayer. He talked about storming heaven by prayer. When was the last time you stormed heaven by prayer, friend? When was the last time you really did business with God, friend, in prayer? Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great preacher called the Prince of Preachers, he told his fellow preachers this. He said, it should be one rule never to see the face of man before seeing the face of God. Never to see the face of man before seeing the face of God. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. Listen to what it says. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things. Surely that's what you want. Surely that's what you want God to do. What's the pathway? He says, call on to me. We read of David Brainerd, the great godly missionary. And he fell on his face in the snow and he prayed with such fervent prayer that it melted the drifts of snow around him. Friend, do we know anything about that? To be honest, my own heart, do I know anything about that? Evan Roberts, who under his anointed leadership, the great Welsh revival came. It says he wore a hole through the rug where he was kneeling, doing business with God in prayer. You and I want to be soul winners. If you want to be used of God, friend, then it's time you started to pray. You say, but I'm afraid. Let me tell you this, my friend. The fear of man brings a snare. You're talking to the one who's invited you to come. Let me tell you, whenever you're in the presence of the Queen, you don't speak until you're spoken to. When you come to the presence of the King of Kings, he's invited you to speak. He says, call on to me. The Word of God says, pray without ceasing. The Word of God says, pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray, not to faint. If you and I want to be used of God, friend, it says in the book, as Zion travailed, they brought forth children. You say, I'd love to be a soul winner, preacher. I'd love to lead souls to Jesus Christ. I'd love to lead some man. I'd love to be able to lead somebody to Jesus Christ and know that they're born again of the Spirit of God. Friend, let me tell you, you can. Led a lady last Sunday night in Cookstown to the Lord Jesus Christ, and afterward, Mr. Cuddy walked in through the door, clerk of session, and the lady turned to him and she said to him, Mr. Cuddy, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I'll be there. The witness is the Spirit of God, friend. In a young child's heart, oh, we need to pray. Oh, we need to cry out unto God. Let me tell you, we live in a day, friend, and there's awful dearth. There's awful barrenness. The ground's barren. And yet God says the fields are white and they're ready to harvest. But it seems that the ground's so hard. I'll tell you why. Be honest. Do you know why the ground's so hard, friend? Because God's people's ground's so hard. God's people's hearts are hard. We haven't a brokenness. We haven't a burden. The dying souls of men and women, when Jesus looked in the crowd, he was moved with compassion. And God's people, that's the next thing. They need to be a people of passion. Oh God, give me a passion for souls. Whenever I think of the great men and women of the past, what did Jeremiah in chapter 9, verse 1, it says, oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. And friend, to be honest before God, our loved ones are dying without Jesus Christ. And many of them are lost. Do we care? Oh, the prophet said, oh, that mine head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears. Nehemiah, when he thought of the walls of Jerusalem that were broken down, and lion and rubble and the gates were carried away. And the enemy had done that, and Jerusalem was a reproach. The Bible says Nehemiah wept. He wept. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, verse 31, he says, by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And yet we have lost ours, friend. Tell me, why have the tear ducts of God's people been closed up? Why is it that when we think about a lost soul, that we're not burdened anymore? Why is it that when we think of our loved ones going out to a lost eternity, and they're going out to a lost hell forever, and they'll cry down there, and they'll weep down there forevermore? And yet it seems to be, it doesn't bother us. And we can slumber, and we can sleep, as the lost go to hell. Robert Murray McShane, the godly preacher, there was a visitor who came to the manse where McShane lived, and the pulpit where McShane preached. And the old sexton brought them into the study where McShane studied, and they wanted to see it. They longed to see where the great preacher studied and then where he preached. The old sexton brought him into the study where McShane was, and he says, sit down there. And he says, when you sit down, he says, I want you to put your hands over your face. And he says, now let the tears fall. Because he said, that's how my master studied. A man with a broken heart for souls. And then he took him into the church. And he led him into the pulpit. He said, whenever the man was taken into the pulpit, he says, I'll tell you what you do. Lean over. Lean well over the pulpit. Stretch out your hands toward the congregation. And he said, now, he said, let the tears fall. Well, that's how my master preached. And today we are ashamed of our tears. I say this before God this morning. God's children should be ashamed. And I'm speaking to my own heart. We ought to be ashamed that we have no tears for the lost souls of men. My master stood and sat down on the hillside on the Mount of Olives and looked over into the city of Jerusalem. And as he looked across the Kidron Valley and into that city of opportunity and privilege, the Bible says, Jesus, if you want to be used of God, friend, then earnestly pray this. God, take away the hardness of my heart. Give me a burden. Give me a passion. Give me a love for souls. For the man of God, the woman of God, must be people of passion. The people of God must be people of preparation. You see, friend, when you go out to reach some soul for Jesus Christ, you have got to know what the Word of God says. And the sad reality is this, that many of God's children are not students of the book. They want to come to church and say, well, you know, preacher, we're paying you to actually study the Word and break it on Sunday morning, or Mr. Berry, we're paying you for to do likewise. Let me tell you, every child of God, every child of God who wants to be used of God, who is going to be that faithful witness for the Master, I want to tell you what the Word of God says. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And when you're on the doorstep witnessing to someone, or you're in the factory witnessing to someone, or my friend, you're out there on the site, the building site, and you're witnessing to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they say to you, tell me, how can I be saved? How can I know peace with God? How can I be sure of heaven, friend? Tell me, could you answer them? You see, you need to be prepared for it. You need to be prepared for it. And many people, whenever they're faced with that situation, they nearly stand in awe and wonder, and they're in shock. And they don't know what to say. And souls are going into God's eternity, friend. Nobody may have an opportunity to reach that soul again. And God has given you a blessed opportunity. We need to be people of preparation. R.A. Torrey, the great evangelist, said this, oh, you may talk about power, but if you neglect the one book that God has given you as the instrument through which he imparts and exercises his power, you'll not have it. Do you neglect the book? Do you neglect the Word of God, friend? This is God's precious Word. Listen, if somebody sent you a love letter, young fellow, you would be so delighted. You would read it, and you'd read it again and again and again. We have a message from the God of heaven, friend, the God of all eternity, the God that we shall meet someday. And God has given us a message. He's given us a Word. And yet people never look at it. Just seem to set it to the side. Reach for it on Sunday morning. And if they can be bothered, they might reach it to come to church on Sunday night. So what about it? You know that someday you'll stand before God, friend? You know some of these days you're going to answer to God for your stewardship? That old lackadaisical, that careless attitude doesn't really bother whether you come or whether you don't to God's house or mingle with God's people or fellowship around God's word or come to the place of prayer. If you profess Jesus' name, or you want to take his name, but don't let it really be serious business. Don't let it really mean something powerful to me in my life. That'll upset all my other arrangements. Or you'll make them all right. Or you'll keep all those arrangements. You couldn't let them down. And one day we'll give an account of ourselves to God. Person of purity and prayer, passion, preparation, a person of principle. You see, friend, we need a humble spirit when we go to reach somebody for Christ. I want you to remember this. God hates pride. In the Word of God, you'll read that there are seven deadly sins. Now, God said this. You know what the very first one was? A proud look. And God hates pride in his child. You know, those that walk past on the other side with their nose stuck in the air, if they see somebody in need, because they mightn't be of their social standing, sort of just mightn't be up to it. It mightn't help their image if they sort of were associated with that sort of low kind of person. I want to tell you, God hates rotten, stinking pride. And God will not use you. You can have your pride, but you'll not have God's blessing. Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57. And the verse number 15. I was in this chapter before. Didn't get the verse, but verse number 15 is what it says. Verse 15. But thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and the holy place with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Let me tell you, my friend, humility is not having a mean opinion of ourselves. In other words, just sort of downing ourselves. That's not what humility is. Humility is having an honest opinion of ourselves. And that honest opinion is this, that without him we can do nothing. It's not by our might, it is not by our power, it is by my spirit, saith the Lord. And I want to tell you this, if God uses you, friend, and you want to be used of God, and you want God to continue to use you, I want to tell you this, God won't give his glory to anybody else. He'll not give it to you or me. All the glory of God using me and God using you, all the glory must go to him. He'll not give his glory to anybody else. We need to be people of principle, a humble spirit, an honorable sincerity. You see, if you're going to be a faithful witness for Christ, you must believe what you're saying. You must really believe it. Because I tell you this, the world will know whether you do or not. They'll test you out. They'll find out whether you're a sham or not. They'll know whether it's real or not. God forbid that we'll allow our witnessing to become formal and ritualistic and routine. Could even become a performance. We need an honorable sincerity. Let me tell you, friend, divine truth is too precious for anything less. This is God's word you're handling. And then there's something else. A person of principle with a humble spirit and an honorable sincerity and a heartfelt surrender. Yield it to God. Yield it to God. Go through with God. Go through with God. Open to the guiding and the leading of the Spirit. Read the book of the Acts of the Apostles. You'll see how that they were led when God said to the apostles, you're not to go there. They didn't go. God says, you're to do this, and they did it. Even though it meant that they were thrown into prison, friend, they sang praises unto God. Why? Because they knew that they were in the place where God wanted them to be. Even though their back was breaking, even though their bodies were bleeding, they knew they were in the center of God's will. And therefore they were unmovable. All was abounding in the work of the Lord because they had a heartfelt surrender. Thy way, O God. I remember Bertha Norman singing in the old church, the Negro singer from the United States of America, Thy way, O Lord, not mine. Thy will be done, not mine. Teach me thy way, lest I might stray. Thy will be done. Heartfelt surrender. And if you really want to be used of God, friend, if you want God to take your life up and make it a blessing, then you've got to be that person of power and a person of principle. standing for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've got to finish this morning. We'll come next Lord's Day to the second part of it. What kind of person can the Lord make me? What kind of person can God make me? Oh, God, I know my frailty. I know my weakness, but I want to tell you, we need to be people of power. People of power. Power with God. Moody tells us that after a Sunday school talk, an old man came to him and he grasped him by the hand. He looked into the face of D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, but as a young man, he said this. He said, I was speaking there in that Sunday school talk and an old man grasped me by the hand and he said this, young man, honor the Holy Ghost. Honor the Holy Ghost. Honor the leading and the guiding of the Spirit of God, friend. Where he will lead me, I will go. Men of power, ye shall receive power. And God knows of ourselves, we haven't got the power. We have got to say, like the disciples said to the Lord Jesus, Master, we have fished all night. We've caught nothing. Because without me, you can do nothing. Nevertheless, at thy command, we'll let down the nets. And here's my last thought. If you want to be used of God, friend, you've got to be a person of patience. We're coming to the harvest time, and harvest will be brought in. But I'll tell you this. You don't sow the seed one day and reap the harvest the next. You've got to wait for the harvest. And you know, sometimes whenever you sow the seed and nothing seems to be happening, and the old devil says, huh, there wasn't much use you witnessing that boy. We were humping his back, and there's not one word that he listened. No, you can hear the old laugh of the devil. Wasn't you such a fool making a fool of yourself witnessing to him? He doesn't care tuppence about what you said. Let me tell you. Listen to this carefully. The Word of God says, and I believe the Word of God, my word shall not return unto me void. It shall prosper. The devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. One last verse, James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 7. It says this, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it. Until he receive the early and the latter rain, be ye also patient. Establish your heart for the coming of the Lord. Draweth nigh. He'll honor his word. He'll bless his word. And when you're going out to witness for Christ and you want to be used of God, friend, I'll guarantee you, he that going forth bearing precious seed and weepeth shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Oh God, give me patience. Help me to keep sowing. Because it's God that gives the increase. Help me to keep sowing. And when it seems that nobody's listening, may it seems that nobody's bothering or taking it in, yet God is writing his word on their hearts. A man I led to Christ a few weeks ago, and he said this to me. He says, preacher, a couple of years ago you preached a sermon on John Newton. Amazing grace. And he says, I never forgot it. And the seed of that message, friend, was sown in that heart. And we had to wait. But thank God there came forth a harvest. May God make us soul winners. And you see, when Tuesday night comes, be ready to hand out the leaflets, doing something more for God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee that we have a great privilege of serving the King of Kings. And I pray that Thou will help us this day to be the kind of people that Thou canst use in this personal witnessing. A people, O God, that are prepared, a people that are pure in heart, a people of power, a people of preparation, a people of prayer, a people of principle, a people of power, a people of patience. Please, God, make me that man. I pray for my brethren and sisters in Christ in this meeting today. Please, God, make them that kind of person. Fit for the Master's use. For Jesus' sake. Amen.